Records show police have solved less than half the murders investigated by city detectives since 2010. In part two of a month-long series, 90.5 WESA's Megan Harris looks at the systemic issues facing Pittsburgh's most vulnerable neighborhoods.
Zone 5 Police Commander Jason Lando remembers the apprehension he felt years ago as a patrolman about to pull someone over. He says there's something in the air. The mood changes in the seconds before you turn on those emblematic blue lights.
What if the guy bails out of the car and runs? What if he takes off in the car? You know, hopefully he's nice and polite and yes sir, no sir, and I will give him a warning and just tell him that his taillight's out. But what if he bends over and I can't see what he's doing and he comes up with a gun? Maybe he's just hiding drugs. I can tell you that a million thoughts go through someone's head, an officer's head, every time they get ready to throw those lights on.
Police have a duty to be empathetic and courteous, but Lando says it's a juggling act.
In what other profession do you tell someone, you know, hey, you have to be treat everyone with respect, be really nice to people, but by the way, they might try and kill you.
Lando's officers patrol the streets north of Balm Boulevard and Penn Avenue. That's where court records show more than 40% of the city's unsolved homicides took place since 2010. 13 people were killed in East Liberty, 9 in the East Hills, 12 in Larimer, 8 in Lincoln Lemington Belmar, and 51 in Homewood. But south of Penn Avenue, in the same 6-year period, there was only one domestic homicide in Squirrel Hill, none in Shadyside, 0 in Point Breeze. Think about that and put yourself on Penn. That's nearly 100 murders on one side of the street, 0 on the other.
Not everyone in Pittsburgh enjoys the same quality of life, and there's a victimology happening here that's completely unacceptable.
That's Police Chief Cameron McClay. He says the outrage should be shared by everyone, not just the police and residents who experience daily violence firsthand. In a report by the Urban Institute, author Margaret Sims calls Pittsburgh a community divided, especially for its lower-income Black men and boys. Poor residents in areas cut off from major grocery stores and urban thoroughfares don't stroll as often through kitschy boutiques in upscale neighborhoods. Affluent residents have less cause to visit and invest in blighted areas. Sims says Pittsburghers just aren't talking to each other.
And that's both in terms of residents and also in terms of the kinds of networks that give people access to opportunity, to resources, to some of the prerequisites for advancement.
Previous generations of African Americans were denied access to trade union jobs and equal education. Today, many of their grandchildren are still more likely to lack specialized skills, savings for higher education, or access to the kinds of parties, partnerships, and old friendships that can bring about better opportunity.
Just about every kid that I talk to, you know, is talking about, I want out of Pittsburgh. I want to go somewhere else.
University of Pittsburgh researcher Richard Garland knows their stories better than most. He served more than a decade in prison for his activities as a Philadelphia gang member and has since made a long career relating to some of the area's most violent young adults. Lately, he's made a habit of talking to shooting victims from their hospital beds. He offers them help, job training, and support if their injuries aren't too prohibitive. And he does his research before he arrives. Facebook and Twitter tell him a lot about what they're into. Some of it good, and a lot of it bad. If the shooting might prompt retaliation, he tries to intervene. For the guys who take his help and try to straighten up, Garland says most mellow out. He doesn't see them in hospital beds anymore.
Going to work every day, where you don't have to look over your shoulder, and if you're making a decent wage, I think that a lot of guys would rather do that.
But Garland says it's hard to reckon his guys and the neighborhoods they come from with the portrait of an up-and-coming Pittsburgh that he sees glorified by local leaders and the national press.
You can't say that for the African-American community because they don't feel they're even in that picture. This is not meant for us.
He says his Pittsburgh gets the crumbs off the table. I'm Megan Harris, 90.5 WESA News.